America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Everyone in the world falls into two camps. Either you're living in a house that has a bunch of bees living in the walls that contain smallpox, or you run a spooky practice that uses unorthodox methods to jog repressed memories. In either case, we know that insurance is key when you get into those sticky situations. That's why this week's sponsor on the Bloom Files are our sponsors over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Truth is out there. And here, who knows? But either way, we're opening up the Bloom Files here on Post Show Recap, the X-Files first watch slash rewatch podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom here, buzzing in your ear like a whole bunch of bees to talk about two more episodes of the X-Files that are actually more connected than I may have initially thought. Let me welcome in my partner in crime here. I guess emphasis on crime, because there's a lot of crime we're going to be talking about in these
so
two episodes.
So much crime.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
At least they're not cockroaches.
No. They're still bugs, though.
Yeah, but would you rather...
I would rather cockroaches, because these are bees carrying smallpox.
Well, I guess, yeah, with these specific types of bees. But if you're giving me, like...
I would rather bees.
Generic cockroach.
I would rather bees.
Yeah. Because
bees don't care about you. I mean, I know cockroaches don't either, but they're icky.
Yeah, and cockroaches, I think there's this idea of them like crawling over
things,
right?
Yeah, I don't like crawling. Icky.
Yeah, like bugs that fly, I feel like they can walk on things, but like the creepy crawlies are more so associated with the cockroaches.
Yeah. Ugh.
So we're talking about two episodes here of season four, the end game of it. Season four, episode 21. So
not the episode end game.
No, so close to that magic number, though. Zero Sum. And then season four, episode 23, Demons. I don't know if this was done on purpose, but these two episodes like had some very similar themes to them.
Yeah, they do to an extent. So I mean, I imagine it was done on purpose to an extent, just because I think at this point in the series, all of the themes are around very similar ideas, I think.
Yeah, just but it's interesting timing too to say, okay, yeah, we're going to do the Skinner is, wrongfully framed for a murder, and then an episode, and then now Mulder is wrongfully framed for
a
murder.
Well, and I do know that they did the Skinner stuff because, I don't know if you read that Gillian Anderson was doing a movie.
Yeah, so they're like, she's in the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. She's undergoing some tests.
Yeah, and we can actually...
we never hear about.
Yeah, but we can get right into Zero Sum, because to that point, you know, you talked in a previous podcast about the Skinner episode in season three.
So that we skipped, yeah.
So I think to your point, when it's like, oh, we don't have one of our leads, well, we always could do another Skinner episode, considering that we've sort of laid that groundwork before.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I actually very much enjoy the Skinner episodes. I feel like it's a nice little diversion, and it also sets him up really well as a main character, which he will continue to be.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this episode as well. I know that I didn't see the first one, but I mean
they're not really connected,
right? But I like, you know, what they do here. I like seeing a bit more of Skinner. We know that he's certainly capable of doing things. I mean, he's assistant director of the FBI.
I just like that they build out his character a little bit more, which is nice.
Yeah, and give him like not something to do, but especially when the last time we saw him on the podcast was, you know, cigarette smoking man being like, all right, I'll help you, but there's gonna be a price attached.
Here's the price.
Yeah, this is him sort of like reaping the rewards or lack thereof of making that deal with the devil.
Yeah, and so basically the episode starts with Skinner in the X-Files office deleting a file from the computer, right?
No, it starts with...
Oh, right. The bees.
The bees. You sort of just eradicated that from your memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we get our sort of typical X-Files cold open, right? Of like, here's this, you know, generic run-of-the-mill place, and then something weird happens. In this case, it is sort of a... I guess it's a packaging facility?
It's a postal center.
It's a postal center, basically, where like all your packages get sent and then distributed.
Yeah.
And so... we have these two sort of coworkers bantering, right? One goes to take a smoke break.
Yeah, one is in the clearly bathroom. Like the alpha and the beta.
Yeah, exactly. Or like maybe the
Romy, the Michelle.
Yeah, or like the bad seed and the good apple, right? Like, oh, you can't do that. Like, well, screw.
No, they're best friends though.
Yeah, but like, I think that one has.
They're going
more,
on vacation together.
They were trying to lose weight for bathing suits. So this girl, Jane, I believe her name is, she goes to smoke in the bathroom, very similar to War of the Coprophages when they had, remember that random...
The guy go to the bathroom
and
die.
Random CSI guy who goes to the bathroom and there's cockroaches on the toilet paper. In general, like, I guess if you're in the bathroom and you're not looking around, you're going to pay a price.
Yeah, or just watch out for bugs when you go to take a dump.
Yeah, if you go to... Good rule of thumb. I was a little surprised to see the return of the bees. I'm not sure why, because again, the colonization arc is a big part of the X-Files in general. Maybe it's because at the end of that episode, Hare Invoke, right, they said like, oh, yes, there are no more colonies. You know, the bees are all gone.
Yeah, but that was a lie.
Yeah. Well, I guess the bees are all gone.
And we find out as well that she was lying. Maria Kapadopoulos.
Oh, Maria Kapadopoulos.
Yeah, I can never say her name.
Yeah, though this is only the second time I've seen her.
It is the second time we see her.
Oh, really?
I don't remember.
I was going to ask if
She's in the arc, the Russian arc.
Okay, so she makes a couple more appearances up to this point.
But either way, I mean, she's like an annoying character in my book.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't live up to... I mean, if we're ranking all of, like... Mulder's informants. I don't know.
She's like immediately known as like a bad.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking though, if I'm ranking Mulder's informants, I don't know. Do I put Deep Throat first or do I put X first? Because X has the arc.
But Deep Throat is like he's like the guy. He's like the more like homey one.
Yeah, I think Deep Throat is a better person, but I like where they go with X.
I'm not ranking these guys. This is a futile mission.
All right. Thank you, Stephen Fishback. So yeah, we find out that Jane is covered in some pretty nasty welts. You know what it is to me? It's a combination of War of the Coprophages and actually the cold open from Hare Invoke. Remember the dude that was up on the line?
Oh, yeah,
and he got
yeah.
stung by a bunch of bees?
Yeah, the lineman.
But yeah, so Skinner has snuck into Mulder's office and basically deleted all the photos of this woman, because essentially the cigarette smoking man has enlisted him to eradicate any evidence of this ever happening.
Yeah, and so what we find out later is that there was a detective in the area that sent the pictures to Mulder, because Mulder has like a...
He's spooky.
He's spooky, yeah. So he, you know, he's trying to enlist his help, and so... basically, Skinner goes in before Mulder can even see those things, and so Mulder isn't aware.
Yeah, so he's going to do things like he deleted the files off the computer. He's going to go to this packet, the crime scene, and he finds honey dripping down from the ceiling, and he's going to like clean up all the evidence.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the coroner's office, which I do love this coroner, the guy in the scrubs, because it's so 90s where he has the gelled hair and the goatee.
Yeah, he's weird looking for sure.
But he takes Jane's body and he incinerates it.
Yeah, that was wild. I felt like that was like a little bit of a step too far because...
Yeah, but like, that's a page out of Cigarette Smoky Man's book, right? Yeah. Like, destroy all evidence.
But, like, doesn't she have a family? What are they going to tell her family? We lost her body.
We accidentally
cremated. But they're not even going to know where she went, because, like, he just took her and incinerated her. They're going to be like, where's this woman's body?
That's true. Yeah, there's no ashes to get back.
Anyway, so he does all this creepy, creepy stuff.
Yeah, he's going to steal some evidence, right? I think he's going to steal her blood sample as well.
He's basically just getting rid of everything.
Another thing thing is that Skinner is going to not disguise himself as Mulder, but he has a fabricated idea of himself as Fox Mulder, which I find interesting.
Did he have the idea? I think he just told them that he was Fox Mulder.
Yeah, but he held up his badge. You would imagine that would have his name on it, right?
Yeah, maybe. But maybe he just held up the badge and the guy just saw the FBI part and then like he wrote down Fox Mulder in the log.
Yeah, because I would wonder if it is the case where it has its name on it, you know. Does he just have that? Did he have to fabricate that as well in the little time that he had?
Yeah, maybe somebody can show us a zoom in. Zoom, enhance.
Enhance. But, you know, this, like, farce, a very dark farce, ends up taking a bit of a turn because, as you mentioned before, there was a detective who tried to contact Mulder.
And he ends up, like, showing up at the police station.
Oh, I hear Fox Mulder's in the station. Let me stop you and contact you. And Skinner's like, go away, nothing happened, I don't know you, bye.
Yeah, he basically just tells the detective, like, he looked into it and there's no reason for him to get involved. Like, he tries to just blow him off, not, like, do anything to harm him or anything, just, like, leaves.
Yeah, then we get to see a nice primo shot of Skinner in his tidy whitey.
Yeah, it, like, a ridiculous tidy whitey.
I mean, this is
Was this a 90s thing?
Yeah, this is very much a 90s thing. It's even, like, a 2000s thing, right? Like, one of the first infamous shots of Breaking Bad is Walter White in,
like,
his
grown-up
tidy
men just wore tidy whiteys.
Yeah, I mean, that was, like, a very much a Bryan Cranston thing. Like, it was very much, I think, a testament of older middle-aged men, in particular,
in the
90s, tidy whities. Yeah, I don't know what the history is with underwear, if when we advanced, like, the level of boxer briefs.
I can't say.
I don't know. You're not the expert?
I'm not the expert. I can name all the different types of women's underwear, but I don't know.
All right, well, we'll have to do some men's underwear research. But yeah, this was very much like a pop
culture. I'll tell you now, I won't be doing that.
I'm like, well, you're past the age of 35.
Yeah,
you better
you have
put
to
on
wear
those tidy whities.
But he looks good.
He looks good. Yeah, I mean, he's trying to decompress from
a
long
fit,
day.
We should say.
It's like 10 to 4 in the morning right now.
Yeah, he did all of this after hours.
But for all the work that he does, Mulder's still going to drop in.
Yeah, which is a little, I mean, suspicious on Mulder's part. What is he doing? Well, it's the middle of the night.
This is interesting. A note that I took from this episode is that, yeah, Mulder is not necessarily being very Mulder-y in this episode, in that Mulder's attitude up to this point is, you know,
very cavalier.
Ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's like, screw Skinner, I'm going to go do this stuff, and then I'll answer for the consequences later when I have results.
I guess he's coming to find Skinner now, though, because somebody's going to great lengths to try to cover up this case, and he's, like, discovered that Skinner's been covering it up, basically. So he's going to Skinner to ask for help, not realizing Skinner's the one that's covering it up.
Right, but that doesn't feel very Mulder to me. I guess maybe...
Yeah, to immediately go to Skinner now.
Yeah, and to essentially be like, oh, I want to clear this for you, you know? Like, I just want to tell you ahead of time if this is okay. Like, that's much more Scully than Mulder to me.
Yes, but I do think that the relationship between Skinner and Mulder has advanced at this point to this stage where he trusts him. He's like a trusted ally.
To that point, we do get a question from Fitzy basically saying, like, with Skinner wanting to do everything to help save Scully, including making this deal with the cigarette smoking man, do you think he could or should have looped Mulder in onto everything that's going on?
100%. This is probably the most frustrating aspect of the episode, especially at this point when Mulder comes to him and is like, somebody's trying to cover this up.
Right, because he tells us that he ended up picking up the photos before Skinner erased them, but he also gives news that the detective that Skinner was talking to is dead.
Yeah, which is wild and news to Skinner because he just left him there, but it's going to be fishy because he was the last person to see him. And basically what happens is that Mulder sees pictures of this guy
talking
to the
detective. Hands in hands, right? He watches security footage.
Luckily, he's wearing a baseball cap, standard Skinner disguise, but, you know, it's like not good. And I feel like, if you didn't tell him in the first place, when he shows them the picture, he should have said, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
I didn't kill him, but that's me, because here's what happened, and explain the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing for Skinner is, like, does he want to maybe he feels like he might put Mulder in danger?
Yeah, I think he feels like what will happen is that the cigarette-smoking man won't give him the cure for Scully.
But he does it anyway!
He will.
He will?
Yes.
Okay, good, because that's another thing that frustrated me about this episode.
This is not like he's not doing all of this to, like, a to no end, I should say.
Okay, that's good. I mean, Skinner's going to bring that up later in this episode, right?
Yeah, like,
I mean,
why am I even doing this?
Yeah, he's like, I made this deal with you. You're not living up to your end of the bargain. I think that's actually what happens next, is that Skinner's in his parking garage. He nearly gets run down by the cigarette-smoking man. And Skinner's like, what the hell, dude? You killed that detective? And cigarette-smoking man basically replies like, oh, you left the job unfinished.
Yeah, but I feel like, did he tell him to kill this guy, or was he assuming that Skinner would just know?
Yeah, I think it's that basically Cigarette Smoking Man just gives him this coded language, right, of like,
take care of it, quote unquote.
Salt the earth, essentially. And so Skinner, you know, assuming that because Skinner's, again, a high ranking official in the FBI, he knows how to dispose of evidence, how to like trade samples out, kill people if need be. And he basically says, like, well, you left one loose end tied up, which was this detective. Even though he meant well, he still saw your face.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's like, he thinks you're Mulder. So, not good.
Exactly. Skinner tries to get out. He says, you know, the deal is off. Cigarette Smoking Man replies, a man digs a hole, he risks falling into it.
He loves saying shit like that.
He loves his metaphors, you know?
Yeah, and we'll see in the next episode, too, a little re-emergence of the actor who plays young cigarette-smoking man.
I know, he showed up for a hot second. I was like, ooh, look at you.
But I feel like I was just going to say that actor is really good at mimicking old cigarette-smoking man's, right, like, mannerisms of quoting things.
Yeah, exactly. But things take a bit of a turn for Skinner, right? He just thinks, okay, like,
yeah, we're done.
Sucks for the detective, but I'm okay. But it turns out that Skinner's gun is missing, and that it was the one used to kill the detective.
Yeah, basically. And then he also, Mulder finds out about the woman being burned, and like everything is being uncovered.
Yeah, because basically
everything he did was for naught.
Yeah, he finds out that the sample has been swapped because like she had a very specific blood condition, and that was not represented in it. So, of both, you know, leads of the X-Files, you don't want Mulder looking into this case, because Mulder is so hyper-fixated on the details.
He's always going to uncover it.
Yeah, and he always has a conspiracy, too, that, like, it is something larger. Yeah. And in this case, it is. Whereas Scully might be like, oh, well, you know, maybe her blood condition went away. You know, like, she usually has a rational way to explain things away. But Mulder's going to say, no. The cancer man's got something going on.
Yeah.
In this case, he's right about it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's, I mean, if something needs to be uncovered, Mulder will get to the bottom of it.
I like Skinner smash, because he's going to go back to the crime scene and, like, just take a sledgehammer to the wall.
Which is why I didn't understand his reasoning
for that. You know, I hope, again, this is hopefully coming out of the FBI's pockets to pay for all this property damage to this bathroom wall.
No, and I think that Skinner's one of those people. Sorry, I yawned. Skinner's one of those people that just, like, goes ham. Mm-hmm. Like, he's, like, very, like, like you said, Skinner smash.
Yeah. But I mean, he has a reason to smash open the wall, because behind it is a bunch of honeycomb. So I had a question about this, because we're going to find out later on that these bees were shipped from the Heron Vogt colony.
Yes.
So were the bees living in the facility?
Yeah. So I'm unclear about that as well. I think that it perhaps some of the bees got there unintentionally, because this is all happening in Virginia, and what happens later is that they like systematically release the bees.
Right, and that's in South Carolina.
And that's in South Carolina.
Yeah, because Fitzy is very angry that the place where this took place, Payson, South Carolina, does not exist.
Okay. But I do think that it's, you know, maybe just like happenstance that like the bees were being held there maybe, or, and that they got out like unintentionally. Cause I don't, and that's why it's being covered up.
Right.
They didn't want that to happen.
So now, I guess Skinner's still sort of continuing his job, right?
Yeah.
If it's, I mean, bad on Cigarette Smoking Man if he didn't realize that there are bees living in the wall.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's something that, you know, draws a lot of attention. So Skinner is going to take this honeycomb to, like, a private scientist who coincidentally...
An entomologist.
Yeah, who coincidentally, Mulder came to 6 months ago.
So Mulder came to this guy 6 months ago about the bees that in Heron Vogt.
Yeah. Do we see that?
No.
I can't remember. Okay, so that was off screen. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure we don't see him go back in Heron Vogt. He spends the entire episode in the colony.
Right, but then it's basically what all the information that goes to Maria Kobagubudas, and that's why
Kobagubudas,
and that's why Skinner. So Skinner finds that file and finds out her contact information.
Right, but when he calls her, she's like, "Nope, never heard of it." I mean, she essentially does to him what he did to the detective. Like, there's no evidence here. Go away.
Well, no, she basically says that I don't have any evidence to provide you at this time. Like, she basically says, like, what she said to Mulder, like, everything's been eradicated. Like, it's all been, there's nothing left.
Well, it's what she told, remember, that's at the end of Harrowville, that's what she told Mulder, but then she showed him pictures of
the colony. Correct.
So Skinner is obviously, like, on the chase right now to figure out, like, God, I've got to clear my name. But meanwhile, the bees themselves are taking on a whole new bit of mystique. They're going to end up attacking this scientist.
Yeah, the entomologist. But also, isn't this at when in the point in the episode where they find the picture? Mulder shows Skinner the picture, and he's like, "Hey, look at this guy. Kind of looks like you, right?"
Yeah, generally, Yogi Bear, ladies Yogi and gentlemen, as playing Mulder. No bees in his picnic basket. Mm-mm. But Skinner is going for broke right now. He's gonna go once again back to this facility.
And like, I just feel like at this point, seriously, tell Mulder what's going on.
No, he's got too many people to interrogate, namely this poor dead woman's best friend and coworker, basically being like, "Look, I know you told the cops you didn't know anything. I know you know something. Tell me, please, my life depends on it." And she breaks, she reveals that basically, this is like a damage package facility, and so they got a damage package sent to them.
Oh, I think that's why the bees are there. It was in a package.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what they're just living there.
Right, but like, the package got sent there and what, they would like, got opened up and now the bees, like, was it purposeful?
I don't think it was
bees?
Intentional.
Yeah, so it's not, so they,
like, the package was being routed through there, happened to be damaged. And that's how the bees ended up infesting this area.
Right.
And that's why somebody was, they were sent to cover it up.
Right. Because their intention was
to get it
to open up this can of bees on this school as a test.
Can of bees.
Yeah. So I can imagine that this poor packaging facility was just sort
of can of bees.
Caught in as the middleman. We also get here that Cigarette Smoking Man is back with the syndicate.
Who are ultimately responsible for the bees.
Yeah, I mean, that's their big colonization is their big thing. But, you know, after a little bit of a strained relationship, he's at least in the fold at the moment. I know that Spencer made a note to us that, like, one of the last conversations is going to be Marita on the phone with
Marina.
Marita, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Marisha on Survivor South Africa. Oh, so there's a lot of, like, similar
Marita coming. Covarrubias. That was the best I've ever said it.
I mean, that's the only correct way you've ever said it before. So I guess by default.
How rude.
But he's on the phone with her at the end. But then, like, there's also this blurry syndicate member who's also listening in. So it's clearly a strained trust that Cigarette Smoking Man has lied to them, betrayed them one too many
times.
He's
back in for now.
Yeah, but they're keeping him on a short leash.
Yeah. Anyway, basically their whole plan, the syndicate, was to test the bees as a carrier for an illness by having them carry smallpox and releasing them on a school because children are unvaccinated for smallpox.
Right, because their parents were vaccinated for smallpox.
Correct.
So it's like, I mean, as the doctor,
this is a
say,
pro-vaccine podcast.
But as the doctor's gonna say, right, like, they didn't get vaccinated for smallpox because smallpox
was eradicated.
Isn't here anymore. But, oh boy, this is a rough scene.
Yeah, that little boy with the glasses. He's so cute.
I mean, this is like My Girl, but even more of a dark, twisted
fantasy. Yeah, for sure.
Of like, here are all these kids getting stung by bees. I mean, luckily none of them died.
Also, spoiler alert for My Girl.
I mean, I believe that National Bee Day was last week.
National Bee Day.
And somebody posted a picture from My Girl. Completely unironically.
Yikes.
I mean, the poor teacher ends up dying trying to get all the kids inside, but I guess she wasn't vaccinated.
Well, I think that she just was attacked by too many bees.
So just too many stings.
She was swarmed.
So you think that's what happened with Jane as well?
Yes, exactly. But they didn't die of smallpox, they died of bee stings.
Yeah, and so this is Skinner also taking a page out of Mulder's book, right? Or even Scully's book, like when the beginning of the colony endgame stuff, when she runs in like, "I know you think it's this one thing, but it's actually another thing."
Yes,
like, "Tell me, were the children vaccinated for smallpox?" And the doctor's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have to treat several children with bee wounds. Go away, crazy man.
Yeah, but basically he runs into Covarrubias.
No, oh, you lost it.
No, Covarrubias.
Copacabana.
Marita Copacabana.
I think that's her new name. But yeah, she's going to show up
and
here.
And she's like, what do you know about all of this?
Yeah, she's going to show up here in person, basically saying like, oh, I figured out that the packages were sent from Canada.
And the bees are being used as a carrier for some kind of experiment. I don't know how I know that, though.
Yeah, but she's going to more so use this conversation to really grill Skinner, right? Yeah. She's like, you know, what don't, like, oh, you said this, but I know you know something else. You have to come forward with this information.
Yeah, she's just trying to figure out what he knows.
But just before, you know, while Skinner thinks he's out of the frying pan, he goes right into the fire. He goes home. Mulder's pointing a gun at him.
Because Mulder figured out it was him in the picture.
Right. But this is going to be, a connection between these two episodes. Both feature an end sequence with Mulder in a dark room holding a gun at someone.
Yeah, but Skinner's able to convince him that he wouldn't have, you know, forced his own drawer lock open, and he's not the murderer, and Mulder turns the gun with the, you know, like, basically, he figures out that it's not Skinner, but Skinner's being blamed for the murder.
Right. Because what's going to happen is when they do the ballistics, which I always think it's fun to test the ballistics and them shooting the bullets into like a tank of water. I wonder if they still do that.
They do, but I imagine it's like more scientifically advanced now.
Yeah, maybe some sort of different type of liquid, like a corn syrup or something.
Yeah, and I don't even know if you need to do it by shooting it or if you can just like test the gun or the bullet, you know.
But they figure out that, you know, the CS is like, well, this is the gun. Too bad the serial number has been filed off. And Mulder essentially covers for Skinner in this moment. Yeah. It's a fun sort of reversal of their usual fortunes in that usually it's Skinner having to cover Mulder's ass just because of the position that he's in. Well, and now Mulder gets to do the same.
Skinner does explain that he's doing all of this to try to find the cure for Scully. So, like, I think Mulder's a little bit more apt to believe him in that regard.
So Skinner, I don't know, I'm assuming he doesn't get his gun back, but he has a gun in this next scene in our final.
Skinner probably has a lot of guns.
Yeah, so he point, because he's going to point one at the cigarette smoking man.
Yeah, basically, like, he is mad because he hasn't done it. He hasn't done shit.
And of course, here comes the cigarette smoking man high on his bullshit, right of like, well, I returned Scully once before. I think I can do it again. Like, dude, show not tell, okay?
Yeah, it's true. So, I mean,
but he does this. Remember that episode all the way back in like season one or two when Mulder confronts him in his home and holds a gun on him? And he's like, I know things. Like, if you kill me, then you won't know certain things. Like, Cigarette Smoking Man is an expert on essentially like talking his way off a cliff.
Oh, is he ever? And he will continue to be.
Yeah. So we're going to get actually again something that happens in both episodes. The effect of you hear bang, bang, bang. But it turns out they were just shooting into the wall or something.
Firing warning shots or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Just to show a meaning of like, I could do it, but I won't.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then we get this final reveal that Marita is working with the cigarette smoking man. Spencer says it shouldn't be appalling or shocking that Marita is working with the smoking man. It's not a twist. She's not betraying Mulder.
No, she does not know him.
If she's the next informant in line after Deep Throat and X, then it's a given that she has regular contact with Smokey. Deep Throat was shown as his cordial colleague in Musings, in Wet Wired, which I do love that episode title. Apparently, like, the cigarette smoking man has a chat with X in person.
Right.
So basically, it's like all of the informants have at least some sort of casual relationship with the cigarette smoking man and the syndicate. So it shouldn't be that big of a twist of, oh, Marita is the mole.
No, I don't think it's a twist. I just think it's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also, again, a little bit of a nothing burger. Maybe it's because we're starting to feel like it's a copy of a copy of a copy with these informants, but I just don't care enough about Marita Copacabana.
Because I think it's immediately, I honestly never thought of her as a informant. I always thought of her as just like tangential to everything going on and just like kind of sprinkling tidbits to Mulder. Whereas the other informants were people that he would reach out to.
Yeah.
Like, I think in the future, yes, he will reach out to Marita, but it's just going to be so short-lived that who cares?
Yeah. And at that point, then we already know explicitly like, oh, she is a mole. Mm-hmm. So then she doesn't really serve as much of that purpose as a Deep Throat or an X.
And I think the other informants were so clear about how the fact that they were working both sides, like the Mulder knew that.
Yeah.
Whereas with Marita, he thinks she's just some government agent.
Yeah.
Who's like also figuring everything out while he's figuring it out.
So I will say, I think that the wrap up of this episode, I maybe wasn't a huge fan of because it just seemed to sort of like happen.
Yeah, but, there but wasn't
I,
anything like
but
significant.
But I liked the majority of it. Like, I liked watching Skinner in action and him trying to sort of spin his wheels, mm-hmm. covering his own tracks. But then when the episode finished, I was like, oh, okay, like, in the space of 5 minutes, you know,
yeah.
Skinner explains it to Mulder, Mulder covers for him, so that's mm-hmm. sort of tied up. And then we find out that Marita is a mole, which, as we discussed,
we already
is
knew,
not a,
kind
a huge
of.
Reveal.
Yeah, and I do feel like with this episode, it is very much so, like, laying the groundwork, so nothing really happens, but a lot happens at the same time, so we'll see more B stuff, especially in the movie.
Ooh, the movie!
yeah. When does the movie come?
I think the movie's gonna come between seasons 5 and 6.
Yeah, yeah. So after next season, we'll see it. But it's still like, you know, the first movie. The second movie is like...
Which one's the movie where they're in Alaska?
The first movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think. Honestly, it's been a while since I've seen them. I remember the first one is very significant. It's almost just like an extended episode.
Right, whereas the second one comes after the series concludes.
Yeah,
right?
So it's kind of like a try at getting back into things.
Or like a final bow, almost,
and
an encore.
It's not, nobody likes it. And then they do the second series, which is I enjoyed.
All right, well, we're going to go exercise some demons as we talk about our second episode. But we're going to take a quick second and hear a word from our sponsors.
For nearly 4 decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, let's get into a very similar yet very different companion piece to Zero Sum. Demons, the penultimate episode of season 4.
Demons! Should I do the whole podcast like that?
I mean, I fear for your vocal cords. Like, I just
Although
hear
with
notes
my allergies, I feel like it's just standard voice for me.
You have a beautiful
days.
Voice. Metal is not your strong suit.
Excuse you. How very dare you!
You can do whatever you want, but maybe, like, stay away from the death metal. But there's plenty of death to be held in this episode, because we're going to get into some, like, repressed memories from Fox Mulder here.
Yeah, some weird film cinematography, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it starts on this, right?
Yeah.
Where it's going to turn out to be, this one is a dream, and at other points in the episode, it's going to be more so, like, he has lucid flashbacks, like, while he's conscious. In this case, though, he's dreaming.
I think that this is also a flashback.
So you think he's just, like, laying on the bed, covered in blood, and just, like, his mind flashback in that moment?
No, because he was already treated, remember?
Yeah, but what I mean is, like...
Yeah, so I think he's continuing to have lucid flashbacks.
Yeah, but in the cold open, he wakes up. This is a dream. I feel like in other instances in this episode...
Oh, yeah, maybe, but I still think it's real.
He'll be like, that's so Raven, right? He'll be like...
Oh, yeah.
And then
he'll
flashback.
Yeah. But I do think sometimes he's unconscious and he's having these... They're still flashbacks.
Yeah.
They're just in a dream state.
So the flashbacks, I mean, we'll talk about it, as Angela mentions, like... Super grainy, super
very weird,
creepy.
Stroby.
Yeah, what did you think about that?
I don't know. I didn't really love it because I feel like there's another way to do that where it's like not, you know, it's. But I guess it was very experimental.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look it up, there was like effects created by manipulating the camera and the film, and they were clearly like trying for something. Like the color sequences were manipulated.
I liked it because I like how it went for something different. I do think it may be. Is at the expense of the sound. Like, we
yes,
always watch with the
sound and the visuals.
Yeah, like, we always watch with the closed captions on, but I can't imagine mm-hmm. watching this dream sequence without that, because it's just, like, a bunch of garbled text. And there's also a lot going on
yes.
visually, where you're flashing between so many people that it has to be tough. especially I can imagine when you're watching it like live.
Yeah, even now I'm like, all I remember is like the like very clear moments of them saying like, Samantha, not my daughter. You know,
Samantha!
It's like
Samantha.
Luckily, it's a different actor playing young Voldy.
Oh, I guess that makes sense, right? Because that was 2 years ago.
He probably grew up, yeah. But yeah, I guess what they did was they exposed the negatives of the film to strobe lights.
Oh, that's a weird idea.
Yeah, like negatives were filtered with strobe lights.
Wow, good on whoever. Like, I would
and the
never
colors
have
were
thought,
manipulated.
Okay, well, we're going to bring this into a dark room and shine a strobe light on it.
Yeah, and the colors were manipulated during the film development as well. So I think that's all sort of like stuff that they were very much so you wouldn't do nowadays with digital and all of that.
And
so
I like how thematic it is as well, because it's talking about, you know, if your memory is a film, if things are a little fuzzy, right? Things are a little grainy, because this is Mulder exploring some memories that he's still trying to piece together. At this moment, it's very like Twin Peaks, where it's a lot of stuff that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, that's actually really... You've never seen most of Twin Peaks.
I've never seen any Twin Peaks.
Oh. Is that another rewatch? Do we have to do a rewatch of Twin Peaks?
I mean, that might be our next dive at some
love
point.
Love Twin Peaks. That's like another... That's one that's like I really, really love, not to the extent of the X-Files, because like I got into it much later, but I feel like from a perspective of... it's very cinematic, and they do a lot of manipulation of things. I mean, I don't, you know about the Red Room and like how they,
and there's people talking backwards.
There's people talking backwards. And so like, this is very much in line with that. So that's a good callback for somebody who's never seen the show.
But this is also a really interesting episode, because if we're talking so much like grumbling about like, Mulder doesn't find out about all this stuff, this is an episode that serves as like a collision point for a lot of previous storylines, to the point where this first scene is going to be Mulder. It seems like he's flashing back legitimately to him, you know, essentially listening in on his parents when they were, he doesn't realize it in the moment, but at the time they were
deciding between him and Samantha,
which one to submit to this, like, you know, smallpox underground testing stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the fact that you see not only Bill and what's Mommy Mulder's name? Bill and I forget.
And Belina.
And Belina Mulder. I forget her name. Mrs. Mulder. And you see them there, and then you also see the cigarette smoking man there. So clearly something's up. But you also see Samantha saying, I'm scared, Fox.
Yeah, exactly. So Mulder's going to wake up from that reverie, drenched in sweat, but that's not the only liquid. There's a
also blood.
Big old blood splatter on his chest.
Yeah, and basically he has no memory of what he's done for the past 2 days.
Yeah, and so he's going to frantically call Scully. Welcome back, Scully. And she's going to find him like sitting in this scalding hot bath, naked, like just he's
not in a good place.
He's
Let's
effed
just say
up.
That.
Yeah, he's saying like he's just muttering to himself that he can't get warm. Is that just like a
I think it's like
thing?
Shock. So we find out later that he went through some sort of treatment and they were giving him ketamine, which I imagine there's sort of a fall from.
Oh yeah, maybe there's some sort of like like toxic shock or something.
Yeah, some sort of withdrawal or whatever. And so he's sitting. Yeah, he's like shaking. And I felt like he did a good job acting here.
Yeah, I think David Duchovny does a good job in this, because Mulder's gonna, I think, like not necessarily recover, but he's gonna move out of this like traumatized mindset fairly quickly when it's like, okay, let's investigate what happened.
Yeah.
But at this moment, like, he's actually pretty damn broken.
Yeah, because he has a headache and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, but Scully's also going to make a note. Dun, dun, dun. 2 rounds have been fired out of Mulder's gun.
And that he has a key belonging to
a lady named Amy.
Yeah, David and Amy Cassandra.
Yeah, two first names.
Three first names.
Three first names.
If you consider all of them.
Yeah, exactly. But we're going to have another person involved here as well, as they go out to check out, like, who is Amy. We get this bald, creepy guy who is bleeding from the head and is what looks like he's taking like a little X-Acto knife, like doing the old school version of Photoshop. He is cutting himself out of a bunch of pictures.
Yeah. And so this is just another patient of that doctor, right?
It is, yeah. He's another person, because the story is going to be that these alleged abductees went under this experimental treatment to try
by
to like
a psychologist
to reactivate the memories of what happened, but this dude's premises are like absolutely wackadoo. And so it causes some adverse side effects.
Yeah, and so some people are like Mulder running around shooting things, and other people are exacto-knifing pictures, and it's a mess. But just don't forget that Scully has to take Mulder to the hospital.
Yeah, she's going to take him to the hospital. No, she wants to, but he's like, no.
Yeah, but that's like typical Scully. Let's go to the hospital.
Yeah, well, I think she says, you had a significant, serious cerebral event. She basically was like, I want to make sure you don't have brain damage.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, way too late, Scully.
Actually, though.
That ship has sailed.
It definitely has.
Much like the one with your dad on it it was tied to the dock. But Mulder is going to go visit this Amy. They find that it's, her sister? Like, this is the house where she used to live?
No, it's their house, but
Amy obviously isn't home because she's dead.
Yes, and it's the housekeeper who's there.
Oh, that was the housekeeper. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's the housekeeper, and she basically is just like, they're not home.
But if you want to walk in and look at, the dozens of paintings that Amy did of this one house.
Yeah, this was rather creepy.
Again, the treatment has brought out very weird habits in these people. Some people exacto knife themselves out of pictures. Some paint the same house again and again and again.
And so basically Mulder recognizes the house in the paintings as a house that's near his parents' summer home in Rhode Island.
Yeah. That's interesting. I guess, I don't know if he had been around there, if he recognized it.
Yeah, I mean, they probably all are very similar. Like, there's probably not a ton of summer homes on the street where he had one. You know, it's probably he probably saw all of them.
And this is the summer home that...
You know, it's rather confusing how many summer homes the Mulders have.
Is this the one with Palm? Is this the one that the cigarette smoking man confronted Mrs. Mulder at?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, because I think that they have a summer home in Rhode Island. The dad now lives in Martha's Vineyard.
Right, and the mom now lives in Greenwich.
And then they lived in Massachusetts.
Right, because this is where they... Because remember when there was that whole thing with Roche?
Yeah.
Mulder took him here, right? And he's like, it actually wasn't here. It was in our home, not in this summer home.
Yeah, right. And then they had a second summer home.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
On Martha's Vineyard.
So ritzy, these Mulders.
Quacka, kinky, kaku, kaku. That town.
Oh, Marita's back.
Yeah.
So this is when, as we mentioned before, Mulder's going to start to have very lucid flashbacks where, he'll just be, it's very Desmond-esque, where he'll just be standing there, and then
he gets pains in his head.
Yeah, and then his brain will go back to, essentially, he's placing himself back into his younger self.
Yeah, and so in this one, he sees the cigarette-smoking man, a younger version of him, in his home.
Yeah, he calls him aren't you a little spy? They do the whole Godfather thing, right, where he's watching his mom and dad arguing, and then his dad, closes the door.
Mm-hmm, yeah. His dad is weird looking, though.
The young Bill Mulder, I don't remember if
he kind of looks evil.
I'm trying to remember. Was it the same young Bill Mulder from the flashback from the Michael Bublé episodes when we see
them? Oh, maybe, but I don't think it's the same one that we see in the musings of a cigarette smoking man for that second.
Yeah, not the one in the military.
Yeah, so I don't know, but this one is I think we see this one again, but he has very strong eyebrows that make him look evil.
And I think he has bigger bags under his eyes than even modern day OG Bill Mulder had.
Yeah.
So they end up finding the house. Right, and this is Scully is once again poking him, hey,
the one in Rhode Island.
You have an electrical storm going on in your brain. We need to seek a storm shelter, essentially. And Mulder says, "No, I'm really good right now."
He says, "I'm riding this high."
Exactly. I'm chasing the dragon that is the truth, Scully.
Anyway, they go to this house, and Cassandra's dead.
Yeah, both Cassandras are dead. She's shot, and you see a dead body in the corner. As well. Something that, I don't know, Fitzy asked this. Mulder's going to compare himself to OJ. Does this hold up more or less 20 years later?
I think less. I think if I was somebody a little bit younger than I am now, I wouldn't even know who he was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, he ends up saying his full name, which maybe people are not necessarily...
Yeah, and I feel like the significance of it was so strong back then that I don't think that... that it would have, it just doesn't have the same impact now because he's almost become a meme, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to remember the trial. Oh, the trial was in 95 and this aired in 97. So
yeah,
it's still
so it's very close by. And I think it was very significant and very like serious. Whereas now it's been memeified and cartooned.
We're so far away from it. Even though, the discourse got brought back up with the Ryan Murphy show.
But even that, it was done in a way that made it like almost fake, like not not real.
Dramatized.
Yeah, and you know, it's been on The Simpsons, so.
It hasn't been on The Simpsons.
I'm sure it has.
I'm trying to remember.
There's for sure been a Simpsons episode about O.J. Simpson.
There was not a Simpsons episode about O.J. Simpson.
But he appears. Well,
so there was a little bit. There was a reference in, actually, another whodunit, Who Shot Mr. Burns, where they talk about, like, the Simpson DNA, which is an allusion to the fact that, like, the DNA that was found on Nicole Brown Simpson's body, and like, but it can't be OJ. So there was a reference to it. So may you are right in that
regard. Either way, I think at the time people were not poking fun or referencing it in a way other than in a serious news matter.
Yeah, other than Jay Leno with the dancing Itos.
Right.
So Scully is going to pitch in. She's going to help, you know, serve as like the number two on the autopsy of Amy.
She loves to do that stuff, though.
She is a medical doctor. But she's the one, she actually does the coroner's job for them and notices a little speck on Amy's forehead.
Yeah, on her forehead, and then finds like a small
speck of blood on her forehead.
Okay. A small, like, sort of, I guess, pinprick incision.
Yeah. Meanwhile, so this is all happening because the cops have shown up. I can't remember. Did they call the cops or did the cops just happen to show up when they were there?
I think they called the cops.
Because Mulder is going to get interrogated. Not arrested, but...
No, but it's suspicious. But, and he's acting suspicious.
This, like, hard-edged cop, is going to put him in the interrogation room under the bright lights, basically being like, oh, you claim that you don't know who these people are.
Exactly.
You don't know, whether the blood on your shirt is theirs, but here's the thing. You know, you have their blood is on your shirt, and despite the fact that you don't know them, clearly you do somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also from his perspective, it's just, kind of sketchy.
Yeah, and I mean, we get close to Mulder being incarcerated here. Like, he's wearing the orange.
Sure,
he is
do.
On his way to jail.
Yeah, it's not the last time we're going to see Mulder incarcerated.
Ooh, interesting, because I was going to say, I was surprised that we did not take that turn in this episode.
And we won't for a while, but I don't think that would be helpful from a perspective of... like storytelling this point.
For what it's worth, Mulder is not necessarily putting up a fight. He's not doing the Skinner of, I know it's not me. Mulder can't really know it's not him at this moment. So he's like, I guess this makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's like completely doesn't know what's going on either.
Yeah, but Scully's going to hold up the prison transfer because she's going to say, as mentioned before, that she found out that there was ketamine in Amy's body.
Which
there's a good
chance. Which is typically used for veterinary purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Like animal tranquilizer.
Yeah, like putting people under.
Yeah, and so there is probably some in Mulder as well. So Mulder's a victim. He is not the perpetrator.
Right. Still not good, though.
But all this is fracas is going to get busted up by the fact that the bald guy we mentioned before ends up being a guard in this police station. I feel like this is completely coincidental, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They just happen to be in the right place at the right time for this guy to shoot himself.
Yeah, and I think also from my perspective, it's like they didn't plan on it being like that, you know?
No, I think it was that they were undergoing these treatments. I mean, I guess it's all in the same area, right? Like, this entire episode takes place in Rhode Island. So I guess maybe this is almost like MUFON was the, you know, the Pennsylvania chapter. This is almost like...
I love saying MUFON.
I know. I love MUFON. A subset of, like, these Rhode Island people underwent this Dr. Goldman's, very experimental methods. And now they're all sort of, like, taking themselves out at once. Because we find out a bit more about this guy... posthumously, that essentially, like, this was a guy who had sort of gone off the deep end because he was believing in extraterrestrials.
Yeah, and that so they're all tied back to this sort of idea of somebody who was abducted is trying to relive their abduction.
Right, to, like, access those repressed memories.
Yeah, this is not the first time that Mulder's tried to access his repressed memories.
Yeah, but it's a little more extreme than
hypnotherapy.
A little
more extreme. Much more extreme. Would you ever take ketamine?
No.
No? You don't want to hallucinate?
Here's a bigger question. Would you ever attempt to access repressed memories?
I don't know what repressed memories I have.
See, that's the thing, is like, do you prefer to live in ignorance in that regard?
But I think that the people that are trying to access repressed memories have some sort of incident that they feel like they need to find out about. Whereas, like, I feel like all the incidents I already know.
Yeah, all the bodies are unearthed.
Yeah, you know, like, there's nothing like, I don't feel like I was abducted by aliens and I don't remember it. You know, so. Yeah.
So
maybe I was, though.
So now one mystery sort of gets, quote unquote, solved in that Scully seems to explain away, like, oh, I came back and did some off-screen work, and yeah, the blood splatter pattern doesn't match what would have happened had you actually killed them. So clearly you were just there at the time. So you're free to go. So we sort of just do away with the whole Mulder wrongful accusation storyline, in order to instead honor the, okay, now what's going on with these people killing themselves storyline.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, because now we're going with the whole Waxman-Geschwind syndrome, where you, like, have such a vivid remembrance of the past.
Right.
Apparently Dostoevsky had it.
I don't know if it's something that's, like, talked about really in...
I'm especially not nowadays, when I feel like we are so much more educated about mental health than we were 20-plus years ago.
Are we, though?
I mean, a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think that it's something that, like, Scully's kind of trying to grasp at straws here a little bit, too.
Do you think... It's interesting, because I would think this is more of, like, a psychologist thing.
It is.
I mean, if you study to become a doctor, do you have to know some psychology stuff as well?
Yeah, I mean, you go through, like, different, like, studies, practices. Right. You probably... You know, it's like when you're training to become a musician, you have to do all of these different... Like, you go to music school, you have to take all of these different things. You're not going to be good at all of them, but you are understanding them and learning about them.
Yeah, interesting. If there's anyone out there who's a doctor, I'd love to hear if your medical training involves studying things like psychology, you know, practices, fields that you ended up not working in at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So off we go to Dr. Goldstein? Goldman?
Goldstein.
Goldstein. Who is another...
Another Rhode Islander.
Another Rhode Islander, another mysterious mustachioed man. Never trust the mustache on the X-Files.
No. But yeah, we find out that he was treating Amy Cassandra with this similar aggressive method to help recover abduction memories.
Or basically, like, you inject him with ketamine and then you just, like, give him a bunch of shocks to the head.
Yes, and strobe lights.
And then also give them a VR headset, apparently.
Yeah, I know, I said that. He put the headset on, I was like, oh, VR!
But Goldstein is saying, like, it's not my fault this happened. My methods worked. Yes, they might be a bit inhumane, but they get results, damn it.
Controversial. He also says he treated the police officer, but he claims to not have ever met Mulder before. Lies.
Yeah, Scully sees right through that. But Mulder, like, doesn't necessarily
Tina
care.
Mulder.
Tina Mulder, that's her name. He's going to go visit her. But this is the thing, is that unfortunately, like, you would think that this drives Mulder away, but no, you know, especially when he goes to visit Tina Mulder and she basically, like, refuses to
He's being
anything.
A little bit mean.
He's a little OTT at the moment, because he basically wants to now pull his mom aside and be like,
ask her point blank if she had an affair with the cigarette smoking man.
Because what he sees in one of his flashbacks is young her and young him consorting.
And, well, more like arguing, you know, like...
But like an argument not between friends.
No, yeah, like an argument between lovers.
Yeah, and she slaps him in response.
Yeah, which is fair.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that being said... In response to
that. Oh, he also says to his mom, like, who's my real father?
Oh, Mulder.
Yeah, that's not little, cool. Not cool.
Too much. I mean, I guess, you know, it's a big revelation for him, so I don't necessarily excuse him for acting the way that he did, but I do feel like having that extreme of a reaction is understandable.
Yeah, plus he's a little bit drugged up.
Yeah, well, and also to mention, he wants to get drugged up a little bit further.
Yeah, this is wild.
His mom is a dead end, he's going to hightail it back to Dr. Goldstein.
This is so dumb.
And say, again, going back to the first episode, he says, I want you to finish the job.
Yeah, and so we do find out that Goldstein did treat him,
yes.
And that he was lying, and then he does it again.
Which, the treatment itself looks wild.
It looks like what you used to do to patients in like the 1800s in mental institutions, like electroshock therapy or something.
I wonder about the VR goggles. Is it a little bit of, is it like sensory deprivation?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think there's anything. I don't think they're VR goggles. I think it's just like a mask.
Yeah. It's like, it's like a big ass headphones. Heavy sleep mask.
Yeah. And then, so just kind of like putting him into like some sort of like space where he can experience the vision.
And then Goldstein drills into his head.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
That was wild. And also a bit of like a call to the abduction of Scully, right? Yeah. With that big ass drill of just
we're
going to do a little bit of a lobotomy as well.
Yeah, and what is that, to like relieve pressure or something? Who knows?
But we don't know how far deep Mulder gets into it because Goldstein's place gets raided. I'm assuming what Scully like called the cops to go.
Well, no, I think he completes the treatment because Mulder's not there when the cops come.
Right. So how much time? That's what I'm like. Yeah, I don't know how much time has passed before he gets. Up getting busted.
Yeah, unclear, but basically, yes, Scully finds out. Scully's like, I know exactly where he's going. Yeah. So she brings the cops with her to Goldstein's, and they like.
And then they find out that, Mulder's not here either. And so she says, okay, let's go to all the basic haunts. Yeah, let's go back to the summer home.
Yeah. And basically, she finds him there. And like he's like freaking the fuck out,
right? And so you think that he is going to kill himself because I think what's happening with these abductees is that their memories are being reawoken, but like it's haunting them,
and it's like scaring them because of the way it's happening too.
Yeah,
it's like
to the
very
point
traumatic.
Where they're just like they want to take their own life because
it's too much.
They can't handle the truth at that moment, and so Scully is sort of talking Mulder off the ledge here, sitting here with a gun, and she's like, you know, you need to let it go. I know you've tried to learn so much, but like, it's not worth losing your life over. And then once again, two episodes out of three in a row here, bang, bang, bang. Oh, he didn't shoot her. He shot the wall.
He shot the wall.
He threw away his shot.
Aw. Just like,
I mean, he is young, scrappy, and hungry.
Oh my god.
And then we finish things off with Scully doing like a Carrie Bradshaw / Doogie Howser, right? Where she's doing her
VO overview.
Talking on the computer about like, well, things have relatively gone back to normal, except for Dr. Goldstein, who is very bad and is probably in jail at this point. But Mulder seems to be doing better than before, but I'm also worried that if he keeps going down this rabbit hole and seeking truth from his childhood, he's going to lose the plot.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, it's not untrue, and no. I can imagine that it might indeed come true, considering that we're four seasons into, like, a 9-season show.
Yeah, but this was extreme, even for Mulder.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big moment for him, right? Because we knew, or at least it was hinted to us, about the affair, but he didn't know about it.
Yeah, and so this is something that also, the idea that Mrs. Mulder, Tina Mulder, had to choose was hinted at before, and now we're actually seeing it. So there's a lot of stuff being like shown to us.
Right, because he was, when they were in the filing cabinets, like he saw the sticker on the folder, but he didn't actually get confirmation from the, you know, the real McCoy about what happened.
And this episode I read was inspired by a book, which is called The Landscape of Dreams.
Ooh.
And it's an essay by a neurologist where basically it details a man who could recall every detail of his childhood.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is both good and bad.
Yeah, and they basically, like, he developed a story where Mulder would wake up with no idea how he got there, and, like, you know.
I'm surprised they haven't done that more.
They've done dream stuff before.
Right, but less so, like, oh my god, I don't remember what happened the past 2 days.
I think it's not the first time it's happened, at least in my memory, but I don't know if we've watched it.
We got some spooks of the week here, Angela. I mean, if we're working our way backwards, Dr. Goldstein's got to be the one for the second episode.
Yeah, for sure. And then I don't know for the first.
Yeah, like you could say Marita, but Marita really isn't that spooky.
I think I'm going to say Skinner in his baseball cap.
Ooh, I like, you know, I agree with Skinner because we're seeing new sides of him.
When he's burning the body specifically.
I'm going to say Skinner in his tidy whities.
Ooh. A chihuahua.
Spooky in that regard. Next week, Angela, we finally reached the end of season 4.
Mm-hmm, we do.
So we're going to do our usual tradition here of watching the last episode of season 4 and the premiere of season 5. In this case, though, it's going to be a triple header because season 5 starts out with a 2-part episode, doesn't it?
It does. So we're going to watch all of that.
Yeah, so we're watching season 4, episode 24, Gethsemane.
Yeah.
I only want to say.
Okay.
And then season 5, episodes 1 and 2, Redux.
Yep. And so, yeah, it'll be a good Memorial Day weekend watch.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got the long weekend, so we've got a lot of X-Files to pack into there. I'm sad to say goodbye to season 4. Granted, season 4, as we mentioned many times, is definitely the darkest season we have gotten into so far. But, like, a lot of really well-done episodes.
Well, and I would suggest you going back and, you know, if we have spare time, watching some of the season 4 episodes that we didn't watch. Because even the one that comes between what we watched this week is really good. I mean, mm-hmm. It's kind of like has Scully like battling like ghosts and stuff.
Scully battling
no,
ghosts?
No, but like kind of like echoes of people who have died. And like,
oh,
it's very, very cool. Like
very metaphysical.
Yes. And I think that there are a lot of episodes like that in the series. So,
well, I'm excited because X-Files, you know, always brings it on their season finales and their season premieres. I mean, last season finale and premiere was when we brought in the bees and the colonies, which ended up coming to fruition here.
Is there a bee in here? Is there a bee?
Wait, is that the bee talking or is that you talking?
That's me talking. Oh, there's a bee.
Oh, you're really gaslighting me there. Thank you so much.
I'd love to do that to you.
So again, next week, season 4 finale, Gethsemane. Season 5, two-part premiere, Redux and Redux 2, I think is what it's literally called. Like,
it
almost
is.
A sequel.
It's very creative.
If you have any thoughts about those, bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com, xfiles@postshowrecaps.com, on Twitter, @AngePelagi, @AMikeBloomType, @PostShowRecaps, but... Wow, I mean, we are nearly getting to, like, the halfway point on this project. I think maybe...
Halfway there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe almost, because I think that we
almost
are...
Almost living on a prayer.
Yeah, it doesn't scan as well, but... Because I think that, as you mentioned, Angela, I think we're, especially when we get into, like, seasons 8 and 9...
Yeah, we're going to be skipping a lot.
We're not going to cover them in as much intensity as, like, seasons 3 and 4. I think we did, like, 6 weeks each on
and 5 will do the same, because I love 5.
Yeah, so you know, we're really focusing on the majority here. But I feel like once we get to the movie specifically, it's almost like... Not all downhill from there, but like...
No, there's just more you can skip because there's more episodes that are just not as like integral to the series as a whole.
Yeah, so I'm happy to marinate in some season 4 for
Plus,
now as we finish things off.
Any of the Doggett stuff is just like...
I'm intrigued.
It's fine.
I'm intrigued to see what Robert Patrick is going to bring. But we have...
He's great, but he's no Mulder.
About that. I mean, that's a matter for, you know, late summer Mike and Angela instead of early summer Mike and Angela.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Where will our lives be?
Probably the same.
Will we wake up covered in blood?
Hopefully not. Jeez.
Hopefully not. Now, listen, I don't know. This show puts those ideas in my head. So, again, next week, season 4 finale, first 2 episodes of season 5. Special thanks to Corey B for his fantastic theme song that, like a reverie, is echoing in your head at this moment. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk next week. Until then, case closed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.